Been a challenge. Sorry about that, Brother Bob. I pushed the button on there twice. And we got Brother Bob Davis in the sound room. And Brother Bob Davis, would you tell Brother Shaddix, go ahead and cut the TV off, if you would, for now. It's time for preaching. Okay? If you go ahead and cut it off, I'd appreciate it. I don't want it to run interference with my microphone. You know, we were kind of concerned tonight because sometimes when they have events at the stadium, same time we're having a service, it interferes with our microphone. And so if for some reason, while I'm preaching, play-by-play comes over the microphone, you'll understand why. We'll try to get that corrected. But hopefully they'll be able to get that cut out and my voice keep going, or they'll cut me out and keep the game going, one or the other. Okay? Galatians chapter 6, Isaiah chapter 61. Galatians chapter 6 and Isaiah chapter 61. While you're finding your place there, let me just say to you, you know, it's not hard to identify someone or something by its marks. You know, it's also not hard to identify a minister of Jesus Christ. And I want to talk to you tonight and preach to you a little bit. We're not going to get through the whole thing. I'll break it up and do part tonight, part next Sunday night. I want to speak to you about the marks of a minister. The marks of a minister. You see, marks are those visible things that are unique to a person. You know, a lot of times when someone comes up missing, a lot of times the police will go to the family and they'll ask for specific things such as, are there any identification marks that we might be able to identify this person? They're looking maybe that for the color of hair, or the type of clothing they were wearing, or birthmarks, or scars, or anything like that that can help them with the identification process. You know, it ought not to be hard for people to identify a minister of Jesus Christ. We're going to look at some things tonight, I think, that will help us. If you'll take your Bible Galatians 6, and then we'll look at Isaiah 61. Would you stand with me together tonight, if you would, please? Galatians chapter 6, and I want you to look, if you would, in verse number 14. Paul writing here says, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. For in Christ Jesus neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God." Notice verse 17. He says, "From henceforth let no man trouble me." He says, "For I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus." Now I want you to notice there, Paul says, listen, you stay off my case. He said, because I bear in my body the truth, I bear in my body my faithfulness, I bear in my body my dedication and commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. And there he's talking about literally some physical scars that he suffered. And we'll look at that in just a moment. Turn, if you would, now to Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61, and begin with reading with me in verse number 1. We're going to read verses 1 through 3, and then, 1 through 3, and then we'll jump down to verse number 6. Isaiah says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified." Verse 6, "But ye shall be named the priests of the Lord." And notice this, "men shall call you the ministers of God." So it sounds to me like there's quite some evidence and quite some marks of a minister of Jesus Christ. That's something, a mark is something visible, something that people can gain knowledge from by seeing something or obtaining some knowledge by the marks of an individual, by seeing that in their Christian character. And I want to talk to you about the marks of a minister. And the Lord, bless the short time that we have together tonight. We pray, Spirit of God, that you teach us. You have been so good to teach us about this area of being a minister for Christ. Our theme for the year, as the multitudes, Lord, will be lost without God if we don't do something about getting the gospel and truth to them. There's a multitude of people that have been lost to the church and lost to Christianity, Lord, simply because of issues and circumstances and trials of life. Those people, likewise, we must be able to minister to them as well. And Lord, we have an example of one of your servants, the Apostle Paul, who said he bore in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus. And Lord, I pray that when we leave this place tonight, that we'd be able to get a hold of some of the things that are marks of a minister that would be evident to people. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. As I mentioned to you, the Apostle Paul said that he bore in his body the marks of the Lord Jesus. You see, he made it clear to everyone that there was no way that they could question his faithfulness and question his dedication and question his loyalty to Christ. He said, "You can see it in my body." And by the way, do you know what? There ought not to be anybody that can question your faithfulness and your loyalty to Christ by looking at you and seeing the marks of a minister, someone dedicated, someone committed to serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Would you allow me for just a moment to read you some things that Paul wrote about himself, and we might get some idea how he got these marks. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24. He said, "Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one." That would probably leave some marks on your body. Being whipped 5 times with 39 stripes, you might have a mark on your body because you served Jesus Christ. And by the way, he didn't receive these stripes because he was out doing nothing. he received these stripes because he was proclaiming the gospel. He was out telling the world about Jesus Christ and him crucified. He says, of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. He says, thrice was I beaten with rods. Now, I want you to listen to me. When they beat people in that day with rods, they didn't just walk up to you with a stick and hit you. They beat you from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. He was literally black and blue with bruises and markings in his body. Thrice, he said, I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. He said, a night and a day I have been in the deep. And he goes on to talk about that he was in waters and perils of his own countrymen, perils of heathen, perils of the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren. And he goes on and on and on and on about the marks that he received. By the way, he wasn't complaining about those marks either. He just said, listen, you can identify them by seeing me. He said, you see those knots on my head? You see the scars on my hands? You see the scars on my arm? They're there because I love God. They're there because I love Jesus Christ. I wonder how many times Paul walked in the marketplace and maybe somebody saw some scars on his neck, on his face. I wonder how many people said, boy, that old boy right there, those are marks of someone that's been whipped. They may not have known that he got whipped for Jesus, but they did know and identify the marks. I want to say to you tonight, church, that Paul literally had bodily marks as evidence of his service for Jesus Christ. You know what we ought to have? We ought to have outward marks as a believer and as a minister, that it's no question of our submission to whatever those things God has for our life. Now, I want to say this. Although Paul's marks were physical, they were outward and visible. Most of us will probably never bear bodily marks because of our faith. But we ought to bear spiritual marks of our Christianity. There ought to be marks that mark us and identify us as a minister for Jesus Christ. And I want you to turn back now, if you would, or if you're still in the place there, in Isaiah chapter 61. I want you to notice here several things. We'll not get to all of them. Maybe only get to two or three if we have time tonight. But Isaiah writing here in verse number 1 about some of the marks that a person, if you'll notice in verse number 6, he says, men shall call you the ministers of our God. Boy, what greater thing can a person be complimented on by someone saying, you're a minister of God. You're a minister of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, some of the marks, it's very evident that you're a minister. If you'll look at the first thing, did you notice Isaiah said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. And did you notice he used another interesting word? He used the word anointed. He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And he says, because the Lord hath anointed me, that word literally means consecrated, set me apart for what he had for Isaiah. And may I say to you, first of all, church tonight, that probably one of the most outward, evident marks of a minister of Jesus Christ is the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. It's very evident by what's going on in your life. It's very evident by your countenance. It's very evident by your spirit that the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. And that is an outward mark of a minister of Jesus Christ. You see, a minister of Christ, they desire to be controlled by the Holy Ghost. Now, folks, listen, one of the things you have to fight with your own nature is that old thing of control, because nobody likes to be controlled. But this is not a bad control. This is a good control. This is a control by the Spirit of God that lives in you, that will never leave you, never forsake you, and never guide you in the way that shouldn't be the right way to go. He'll always guide you in the way of all truth. You see, a minister desires to be controlled. A lot of people don't want to be controlled. They don't want God telling them what they can do and what they can't do. You know what? They're going to have a difficult time being a minister to any multitude, any people. Now, folks, I'm just here to tell you. I was an eyewitness today of the multitudes. And I'm telling you, they came from every nook, cranny, and crack in planet Earth today. Just showed up out there. And you know the amazing thing? They weren't ashamed to come dressed like nuts. Now let me tell you something. There were some mean-looking dudes out there, brother, walking around with a piece of cheese on their head. And I'm talking about some rough-looking characters who probably squash any of us in a heartbeat, but they weren't ashamed to walk around with a little square piece of cheese on their head. They just walk around having a good old time, laughing, dressed up like a bunch of clowns. They weren't ashamed of it. They were sitting, listen, grown people, probably lawyers and doctors and all kinds of stuff. Hey, I'm telling you, they were out there cheering. They were out there waving towels. They were out there doing all kinds of crazy stuff. You know what? Because they were excited. May I say too, there was a spirit upon them, but it wasn't the Spirit of the Lord. I wonder why the people of God can't get that excited. Hey, can I tell you, it was very evident this afternoon whose side they were on and who they were for. Because it appeared outwardly and it also appeared inwardly. They showed us what team they were for, and then their mouth told us who they were for as well. And some of them were not for Jesus. You see, one of the marks is that your spirit controlled. The Spirit of God is upon you. Can I ask you something, church? You ever met a person? I mean, as soon as you met them, you knew the Spirit of God is upon them. I can tell that the hand of God is upon them. They are controlled by the Spirit of God. You say, man, preacher, I meet some people like that, it just gives me chill bumps. You know something? That's the way it ought to be with all of us. You ought to come to church all the time, get chill bumps. Why? Because we all should have the Spirit of God upon us. It's evident. It's evident in a minister of Jesus Christ. Hey, may I say to you also that the Holy Spirit, people that are ministers for Jesus Christ that are filled with the Holy Spirit, they allow the Holy Spirit to purge them. You say, what's that word purge mean? That means get all that old nasty stuff out. That means get all of the stuff that is not beneficial for the Lord Jesus Christ. That means He works in getting all that selfishness out, all that jealousy out, all that carnality out. And folks, I can go on and on and on. You know what a minister does? A minister says, Holy Spirit, here I am, purge me. Get all the rot out. These last couple of days, I don't know what it is, but I got one of those, not a fever blister, but I got one of those, something on your lip. Forgot what you call it. But it had a little core in it, and that sucker was hurting. I mean, it hurt just to even touch it. You can still see it right there. See it right there, Tim? Yeah. And I thought, man, I got to get that core out of there. And boy, your lip's sensitive anyway. And so I just thought, well, I'm going to get her done. Because if I don't get it out, it's just going to puff up. Sunday, I'm going to come in here and go nod on my lip. And I just went in there and I thought, okay, here, you know how you do. Okay, here we go. One, two, three. And I mean, I just gave her a good, and I mean, explosion. Boy, I felt better after that. Now listen, hey, after I did that, my lip got like that. And man, I'm telling you, it hurt. Let me tell you something. It's all right tonight. Yeah. Hey, it's not a knot on there now. I got the core out. Hey, the Holy Ghost, you know what He needs to do? He needs to get the core out of some people. And you know what a minister wants to do? He wants that core out because he's tired of messing with it. He wants it to happen in his life. Hey, may I say also to you that when the Spirit of God is on a minister, He'll allow the Holy Spirit to produce the fruit of the Spirit through them. You say, boy, I wish I could love more. Then you need to surrender and be submissive more to the Spirit of God. You say, boy, I wish I could have more compassion and more peace and love and care and meekness and kindness and all the wonderful things that the Holy Ghost can do. Then you need to be more submissive. I'm here to tell you tonight, the more the Holy Ghost has of you, the more fruit He can produce through your life. Because, may I say to you folks, when you go read about the fruit of the Spirit, when you find the fruit of the Spirit over in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23, may I say to you, that's not you producing that fruit. That's not me producing it. It's the Spirit of God through you. And it's very evident in a minister. It's very evident, I said, in a minister, that he allows the Holy Spirit to produce the fruit of the Spirit through him. When a minister has the Spirit of the Lord upon them, they have a song in their heart. Ephesians 5, they have a song in their heart. You know, the Bible talks about us ministering to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. You say, but preacher, I don't have a voice. He's not talking about a song coming out of your mouth, though we need a song coming out of our mouth. You say, well, I just don't like to sing. Well, that's not true. You do. You like, everybody in here likes some form of music. Hopefully it's the right kind of music. But everybody here likes something. And you know what? I promise you, you sing at some point. Whether you're in the car, whether you're at home. And listen, everybody sings at some point. But God's saying, I want a song in your heart that is a perpetual song, that is a continual song. Man, folks, I've never understood why people get mad at happy people. You ever notice that? They get mad and upset because a person, I don't know what it is, you're happy all the time. It may be because they got the Spirit of God in control of them all the time. It may be that they've decided, you know what, I'm going to be a minister and I'm going to let the marks show. And they sing all the time. And they just have a good time. I said this morning, listen, salvation is not something we endure. It's something to be enjoyed. And a minister enjoys it. He has a song in his heart. He has a thankful spirit. Hey, that's what we're supposed to be doing. He gives it in all things. He gives God thanks in all things. But a minister controlled by the Holy Ghost also has a very submissive spirit. They're submissive at home. They're submissive on their job. They're submissive at their work. Hey, listen, you'll find that a minister, yeah, you know what? They may have a Ebenezer Scrooge for a boss, but you know, they don't go in there and try to run the show. They'll go in there and they go, you know what I'm going to do? I'm not going to buck this old boy. What I'm going to do is I'm going to love him to Jesus. And listen, he may treat you like everything but a human being, and you can say, yes, sir, I understand. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And I'm telling you, what I'm telling you, most of us can't do. Because what we want to do is we want to go out and cut his tires. That's what we want to do. Or we want to pray against him. That's not what the Bible says. Hey, may I say to you, a minister is no respecter of persons. They're no respecter of persons. Why? Because they are submissive. They're willing to do anything and go anywhere to minister to anybody. You see, a spirit-controlled person is very easy to spot and identify. They have the marks. And their marks are outward. Listen, folks don't go and to folks in time of need that don't have the evidence of the Spirit of God on them. Hey, people will naturally gravitate to those who display the marks of a Spirit-filled minister. They'll gravitate to them like a magnet. And the thing about it is, you know who they are, and I know who they are. And people say, I just don't understand. Why do they always, they just seem to have so many friends. They just seem to have so many people that just gather around them. It may be because they have the marks of a minister. And people like to be around them because they're always upbeat and positive instead of negative all the time. And because the Spirit of God is upon them. Well, I think we got time for one more. Look, if you would, in Isaiah 61. I don't want to get into the third one here because I know I won't finish it. But look, if you would, in Isaiah chapter 61. Now, listen, the first mark Isaiah said, very evident, he said, the Spirit of the Lord was upon me. But did you notice he said there that because the Lord hath anointed me. He's consecrated. He has set us aside. Listen, when we got saved, we were separated unto Christ. We became a child of God. We became a new creature. But I want you to notice one of the things also that Isaiah said here as well. He says, because the Lord hath anointed me, here it is now, to preach good tidings unto the meek. To preach good tidings unto the meek. Now, before we get into this, let me just preface this and say this. Nowhere will you find a minister of Jesus Christ that's anointed and has the power of the Holy Ghost on them pointing out everybody's faults. That's not a minister. The minister may see the fault. The minister may see the problem. But you know what? They don't go point it out to everybody and say, look at there. Look at there. Look at there. Always keep in mind that normally people that do that, they can't see the forest for the trees. They can see the problem in everybody else's life but their own. So we got to be careful. So one of the marks is being filled with the Holy Ghost. Another mark of a minister is preaching good tidings to the meek. Flip back just a couple of chapters, if you would, quickly, for just a moment. Isaiah 52. Turn to Isaiah chapter 52, if you would, please. And verse number 7. Once again, Isaiah says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, thy God reigneth. You know, it sounds to me like here that good tidings seem to be connected to good and seem to be the publication of things that are on the upbeat side and positive side. Now, folks, I understand there's a negative side, and I understand sometimes we have to speak negatively, but that shouldn't be the norm. We shouldn't have to speak negatively constantly. But this word preach here, if you'll notice there in the scripture, that word preach literally means to proclaim truth. He says that the Lord has anointed me to evangelize and proclaim truth. But wait a minute. He says not only proclaim truth, but he says proclaim good tidings. Those two words together there literally mean that we are to proclaim the message of hope and comfort. That we're to proclaim the message of hope and comfort today. You see, the prophet Isaiah, through his eyes of prophecy, what he saw was a captivity of Israel and their bondage and oppression at the hands of their captors. But listen very carefully. But the message to them was that the time had now come for deliverance and freedom and prosperity. The return to their homeland and Jerusalem. You know what he said? I'm coming to preach hope that you're not going to stay in captivity. He said, I'm coming to preach hope that we're going back home. And may I say to you tonight, folks, that one of the things that we're to be preaching and teaching as ministers, that we're going back home. That one of these days, this old world is not our home. We're just passing through. Hey, we're supposed to be proclaiming, evangelizing, and proclaiming truth. And one of the good tidings is the hope of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Hey, one of the good tidings is salvation in Jesus. Man, I tell you one thing. I had a blast this afternoon. I wish I'd have the Super Bowl here every weekend. I met a couple this afternoon. They came up and talked to me. And their ministry is they just go to all these big events. They go to the Super Bowl. They go to the World Series. They go to the Final Four. They go to, it doesn't matter where it is, and they outside, and they preach and hand out tracts. That's their ministry. They go to all these big events all over the country. So we chatted just a little bit today, and we began to talk a little bit about it, and they said, yes. And the lady said, yes, we're out here just trying to get people saved. And I said, you know what, ma'am? I said, we are too. Just trying to get people saved. Hey, you know what the good tidings, a good tiding of hope and comfort is? That you can be saved. You know, most of those people walking around out there probably didn't know if they could be saved or not. How many times have you ever heard people say, well, preacher, you don't know what I've done. I'm not really concerned about what you've done. All I'm concerned about is I know what Jesus has done. I know what he's done, and I'm to proclaim hope and comfort that, listen, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But wait a minute, not only is there good tidings of salvation, there's good tidings of the security. Had a guy come up to me today. He said, how do you know you're saved? I said, because Jesus said I was. He says, well, how do you know that? I said, the scripture says, John 14:6, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And I said, listen real carefully. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He said, okay, I'm just checking you out. He moved on. And we had a bunch of people checking us out during Brother Scott. Man, they'd stop by. They were asking questions. And then you got some knuckleheads that want to come up and argue that claim they're Christian. Hey, are you a Christian? Yes, I am. You believe in eternal security? Yeah. And tried to argue with me out there. I told him, I said, you know what? Psst. Hey, man, we're trying to tell people about Christ. I ain't got time to debate with you out here about eternal security. Do you believe it? I said, yes, I do. And he said, well, I said, got to move on. It's time to move on. Hey, why? Because the good tidings of security, eternal security, forever with Christ. How about this? How about forever loved? Non-ending love. The love of God. Always comforted. Never left alone. You know what? That's pretty good. That's kind of hope and comfort. How about proclaiming the good tidings of the supply in Jesus Christ? Do you know that He'll supply all your needs? Not according to your riches, but according to His riches. So you know what? We can go and tell people that God will never, ever run out of supplies. He can supply your need. He can supply my need. We need to be proclaiming that. We need to be evangelizing the world and let them know that, listen, just because there's been millions saved, there's still room for one. Brother Havens went out today, led a person to Christ. Out there passing tracks out. You know why? Still room for one. He said, what was he, a packer or a stealer? I don't know, but he was still room for one. Heard a guy walk by me today and said, God only loves Steeler fans. I said, okay. You know, we're to be proclaiming the good tidings. Not only of salvation, security in Jesus, the supply in Jesus. Hey, listen, we ought to be proclaiming the good tidings of service in Jesus and service for Jesus. My goodness, folks, you know what? Our face ought to tell us something. We ought to be happy about serving God. Like I said, hey, salvation is not something to be endured. We're to enjoy being saved. We're to enjoy. Hey, listen, that's the reason today I love going out there to help. Matter of fact, my arms are so stinking sore tonight. Brother Scott had to teach me how to hold signs. He says, preacher, there's a way to hold these things. Man, by the time 2.5 hours of doing this, man, I thought, get the signs. I can't let my arms down. They took the signs. I felt like, he said, preacher, this is how you do it. They were holding the signs. See, everybody can be your teacher. You don't know everything. See, I bet some of you didn't even know how to hold signs. I learned real quick. You don't hold them like this. Okay? You hold them like this. Press them up against you. Or hold them at the bottom. Hold them down here and you walk around like this. See? You have to be educated in these types of things. But you know what? Once Brother Scott showed me how to do it, you know what? I had a smile on my face while I was walking around holding the signs. Boy, when I was like this, I wasn't smiling much. Because it was hurting. And may I say, let me give you one last thing, and that's this. We're to proclaim the good tidings of the second coming of Jesus Christ. The second coming of Jesus Christ. You see, we're to proclaim a message of hope and comfort while standing firm on truth. Hey, yes, the world needs to hear about hell. It needs to hear about eternal judgment. But our emphasis needs to be on the hope of Jesus Christ and His second coming. And folks, I'm telling you, most of the people I saw today, they weren't concerned about Jesus coming back. All they're concerned is about the outcome of what's happening right now. That's all they're concerned about. But may I say to you, after it's all said and done, whoever wins, you know what they're going to get to say? We won! We won! Have you ever noticed how many fans live vicariously through their team? And I'm thinking, we won? No, you didn't. You win nothing. Because if we won, then we'd get some of that paycheck, wouldn't we? But we didn't. Now, we'll pick up some of this next Sunday night, but I want you to listen to me. A minister ought to have some marks. And some of the marks, Isaiah said that the Spirit of the Lord was upon him. I wonder how many of us really want the Holy Spirit of God to control us. Don't be afraid of it. Because I promise you, He'll never let you down. and he'll use you in a greater way to minister to so many different people. He'll fill your heart with the love of God. I'm telling you, folks, when I was out there today, my heart was so filled with the excitement of getting the gospel and passing tracts out. But you know what? It was also very sorrowful because I knew that thousands and thousands and thousands of these people are going to die and go to hell. And most of them are going to die and wake up in hell and not even know why they're there. Because they did everything that they were told to do. They did it. The problem is it wasn't biblical. There's a lot of other people out there doing a lot of other things. A lot of heresy being preached out there this afternoon. A lot of things being passed out that was not true, folks. A lot of things. No wonder the world, as I mentioned this morning, no wonder they're confused. And I'm telling you, if we believers that believe the truth and believe this book, if we don't stand up and start getting the gospel out and start passing tracts out and being a better witness and evangelizing even further than what we're doing right now, I'm telling you, we're going to raise a generation that do not know God. And they're going to say, what is this right here? Is this an altar to the unknown church? To the unknown God? I don't want to be there, do you? We need to be ministers. Would you bow your heads with me tonight? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're here tonight and say,